Day 317, Monday, December 18th. 2 Samuel 21 and 1 Chronicles 24-8. 2 Samuel 21 1-22 NKJV. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, "It is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites." So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn protection to them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you, and with what shall I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said to him, "We will have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us." So he said, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." Then they answered the king, "As for the man who consumed us and plotted against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel, let 7 men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan the son of Saul. So the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the 2 sons of Rizpah the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, and the 5 sons of Michal the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel the son of Barzillai the Meholathite, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. Now Rizpah the daughter of Aiah took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock, from the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul, and the bones of Jonathan his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead who had stolen them from the street of Beth Shan, where the Philistines had hung them up, after the Philistines had struck down Saul in Gilboa. So he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the tomb of Kish's father. So they performed all that the king commanded. And after that God heeded the prayer for the land. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai the son of Zeruiah came to his aid, and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibichai the Hushathite killed Soph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elanan the son of Jair Orajim the Bethlehemite killed the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. 1 Chronicles 24-8 NKJV. Now it happened afterward that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibichai the Hushathite killed Sapai, who was one of the sons of the giant. and they were subdued. Again there was war with the Philistines, and Elanim the son of Yair killed Lami the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, with 24 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading program states, God allows a famine in the land for 3 years during David's reign because of the sins of Saul. Saul, in an incident not recorded elsewhere, had broken the sworn treaty Israel had made with the Gibeonites, Joshua 9-1620, thus violating the law of God, Numbers 31-2. In order to settle the matter with the Gibeonites, David agrees to give them 7 of Saul's descendants to be executed. Yet why would David do such a thing? After all, Old Testament law is quite clear that a son is not to be punished for his father's sins, Deuteronomy 24:16. Compare 2 Kings 14:6, Ezekiel 18:1-4, Ezekiel 18:14-20. But since David is not condemned in the text, and since God honors the action by ending the famine, 2 Samuel 21:14, David has apparently done the right thing. Perhaps the answer to this matter is hinted at in verse 1, which mentions Saul and his bloodthirsty house. The original King James has bloody house, while the NIV has bloodstained house. Saul, then, was not the sole perpetrator in this case, so were others of his house. Thus, it would seem that the 7 men chosen had played some part in Saul's war against the Gibeonites, making them personally guilty. Therefore, it would appear that justice is served. Saul's concubine Rizpah, mother of 2 of the men, remained near the bodies, protecting them from scavengers, from the barley harvest to the early rains, late April to October, Nelson Study Bible, note on verse 10. When David is later told of Rizpah's remarkable example of dedication and self-sacrifice, he is moved to gather the bones of those men and arrange for a decent burial. He also retrieves the bones of Saul and Jonathan from their burial place, brings them to Zelah, and buries them in the tomb of Saul's father, Kish, verses 11-14. We then read about the killing of Goliath's relatives. Here, the account of Chronicles finally joins back up with the book of Samuel. Had we been reading only Chronicles, we may not have noticed the jump of many years between verses 3 and 4 of 1 Chronicles 20. Yet we would have skipped all the way from the conquest of Rabbah to this destruction of the giants, without any mention of David's great sin, the infighting within his house, the rebellion of Absalom, the rebellion of Sheba, and the 3-year famine. As stated before, it is evident that Chronicles was compiled with a different purpose in mind than Samuel and Kings, that purpose apparently being to show the positive side of the line of David for others to emulate and to point out tabernacle and temple worship as the focus of David's kingdom. End, verse 1, this is a tremendous example that God expects us to keep our word, even under extenuating circumstances. Verse 3, an example that when we know we have wronged someone, we should seek to make amends and fix the situation to the best of our ability. Verse 8, John Gill's commentary states, Michal had no children to the day of her death, nor was she the wife of Adriel, but Mirab her sister, 1 Samuel 18:19, wherefore these sons were not whom she bare, as the word used signifies, but, as we rightly render it, whom she brought up or educated. Verse 9, this would be around Passover.